2 Samuel chapter 3, please. The third chapter of the book of 2 Samuel, very familiar story. Not one that we hear preached very often. I think I've only ever heard it preached on once. Maybe be wrong in that. But 2 Samuel 3, and we're reading from verse 27 down to verse 34, please. 2 Samuel 3, verse 27, and we read down to the verse number 34. Tragic story, but one we can apply the gospel to this evening. 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 27. The word of God says, "And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother. And after when David heard it, he said, 'I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever for the blood of Abner the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and all his father's house. And let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread.' So Joab and Abishai his brother slew Abner, because he had slain their brother Ahithophel at Gibeon in the battle. And David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, 'Rend your clothes, and gird you with sackcloth, and mourn before Abner.' And King David himself followed the bier. They buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, 'Died Abner as a fool dieth? Thy hands were not bound, nor thy foot put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou.' And all the people wept again over him." And amen, and God will bless the reading of his own inspired, infallible, inerrant, indestructible, and incorruptible word of truth. Let's have a brief word of prayer before we consider what the Lord would say to us this evening. Lord, we thank thee for everything that has gone before in this meeting tonight. Yes. We thank thee for the hymns of and the songs of Zion that we have sung together. We thank thee for the truth of their words and the reminder of that Christ died for us because he loved us. Yes. Lord, we thank thee for the love of God tonight. We thank thee for everything that has been sung and said on this platform already. Yes. But tonight, as we bow in thy presence, as we come to thy word now, we pray that thou wilt meet every need that is in the meeting and every need that is on the internet. We pray, Lord, for the preacher, that thou bring to his remembrance everything that thou hast given him in a quiet place. Lord, that you'll help him to discharge it, and give him clarity of speech and clarity of thought, and help him to discharge it with the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, for all who listen. We pray tonight that as they listen, they will set aside the things of the day that have gone by and the morrow that lies ahead, and help us to hear the voice of God. Help us to consider what God would say to us tonight. And Lord, we pray that as we listen, if there be any that know not Christ, that they would turn and cry unto thee for so great salvation. We ask these things in the Saviour's wonderful and precious name. Amen. And amen. Now, the first thing I need to do this evening is give a little understanding to the background of the verses that we read together. Of course, under the law, there were six cities of refuge. These were six cities that were designated by God, where a man who accidentally slain another, he could flee from the family, and he could flee from the avenger of blood who was seeking to kill him in revenge. Keep your finger there in 2 Samuel, but turn with me to Numbers 35 that we see it set out in the Word of God. Numbers 35 and verse 15 and 16. Say, keep your fingers there over in 2 Samuel 3. Numbers 35 and verse 15 and 16. And there you have it set out by God himself in his word. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and the sojourner among them, that every one that killeth any person or wares may flee thither. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And run your eye down to verse 19. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him if he's outside the city wall. And so it was for Abner the son of Ner. He had killed Joab's brother as he fled in defeat. He fled to a city of refuge. When Abner was there, Joab nor no one else could touch him. He was in it. There was total protection under the law. He was safe. He was secure. He was safe from the avenger of blood. But Joab and Abishai enticed him out of the city gate. And outside the city gate, Joab and Abishai slew Abner there. And Abner died. And we have our text this evening in verse 33, where David says, "Died Abner as a fool dieth." Died Abner as a fool dieth. He died outside the city wall when all he had to do was stay in and no one could touch him. Maybe there's an unsafe person listening to my voice this evening. And you know where to find refuge. You know that if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to save you, and you bow your knee in repentance of your sin and you cry, "Lord, save me a sinner," he'll save you tonight. You know that. And you know in Christ there's refuge for your soul. But tonight you're still outside. Tonight you refuse to come. And tonight so far in your life you have said, "No, I will not have this man to reign over me. I will not bow my knee. I will not repent. I will not come. I will not cry." Tonight, if you stay in that condition, it'll be said of you, "Died Abner as a fool died." I want to look at this text tonight and see some things from the portion we have read together. First thing I want you to see is the provision. The provision. You see, available to Abner was security. Available to Abner was safety. Available to Abner was a place where nothing, the strong man, the enemy, the avenger, could not touch it. It was simple. He had to stay inside the city gate. He didn't need to earn it. He didn't need to buy it. He didn't need to work for it. He didn't need to join an association. He didn't need to join a church. He didn't need to subscribe to some sort of doctrine. He didn't need to learn and subscribe to some sort of creed. He didn't need to agree politically. He didn't need to sign a paper. All Abner had to do was come and come inside the city gate. Salvation's the same tonight. It's available to you. You have nothing to do. All you have to do tonight is come to Christ. But you will not come. And you'll die as a fool dieth. It was available. Not only was this a security or salvation available to Abner, it was attainable. You see, God in his law provided it. All he had to do was enter in. It was attainable for Abner. And salvation tonight is attainable. God provided it by his Son. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ has been to Calvary already. And blood had to be shed. And he shed his precious blood. He hung on that cross. Suffering physically. Physically he has a crown of thorns on his head. Beaten down him with a reed. And the blood from those crown of thorns, and the blood from the fists that have pummeled into his face, they cover every sin that I'm capable of thinking of. He's hanging on that cross, and his back is bleeding, like a furrowed field from the beating and the whipping that he's received at the Jewish trial with a whip of ropes, and then scourged by the Romans with a thing of 9 strands of bone and metal. And the scripture tells us, with his stripes we are healed. But the Hebrew's telling us that there were so many stripes, they merge into one. And the blood from his back covers every sin that I have put my back into. His head, my thoughts. His back, my back. His hands are nailed to a cross. And the blood from his hands covers every sin I put my hands to. His feet are nailed to the cross, and the blood from his feet are covering every sin that I have run to. And then the Roman soldier, after he's dead, he takes the spear and he pierces his heart, and the blood and the water that come from the pericardial sac and the heart cover every sin that I put my heart and my passion into. The Savior's on that cross, and he's bleeding and he's dying, and he's suffering physically. He's suffering mentally. They're mocking him and they're scoffing him, and they're telling him to come down off the cross and to save himself. Oh, he saved others, but he can't save himself. And the Savior's suffering physically, and he's suffering mentally, and he's suffering satanically as the devil tries to destroy him, and the devil tries to bruise him and to ruin him. He's suffering emotionally as he looks down from the cross and Mary's weeping. And he looks out and the disciples are afar off. Suffering physically and mentally and satanically and emotionally. He's suffering spiritually. Never separated from the Father in heaven. Never separated from the Father on earth. But between the two, he's lifted up on a cross and he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He suffers in the spiritual realm. He suffers physically and mentally, satanically, emotionally and spiritually. But he suffers substitutionally because he's there for me. And he's in my place. My friend, this evening, because of what Christ did on that cross, and as Christ dies for the sin of the world, and the Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, it cleanseth us from all sin. And friend, tonight, because of what he did, salvation is not only available, but it's attainable. All you have to do is enter in. All Abner had to do was enter in. All you have to do is enter in. It was available. It was attainable. It was admissible. You see, it was for all. Anyone who had killed accidentally or not murderously could enter in and plead his case to the city elder. God had decreed it. Tonight, salvation is for all. You know, John 3:16, that great verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever. It's for all. Hebrews 2:9, our brother Davy read it this morning. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should what? Taste death for every man. Every man. John 10:9. I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Can you grasp it tonight? The reality is, God means what he says and says what he means. Whosoever means whosoever. Every man means every man. Any man means any man. Salvation is free for all tonight. It's attainable, it's admissible, and all you have to do is come. And provision was made for every man. And Abner stepped outside of it. Oh, tonight, salvation, yes, it's available and attainable and admissible. It was assurable. Assurable. You see, for anyone to touch Abner inside that city wall was punishable by death for them. They couldn't touch him. He was secure. Tonight in Romans 8:1, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now no condemnation. Friend, tonight if you come, sir, madam, if you come and you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then tonight there's the eternal security in Christ. Once saved, always saved. Now no condemnation. Abner missed it because he stepped out and said, once we are in Christ, we are in, we can't get out again. We might fall, we might turn away, we might go back to the world, we may do let him down, we may do a thousand and one things. But once we're in Christ, we're in Christ. And we're there forever. And we're there for all eternity. Oh, tonight, yes, this so great provision, it was available and attainable and admissible and assurable. For Abner, it was alterable. You see, in Numbers 35 and verse 28, it says, but after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return unto the land of his possession. It was alterable for Abner for two things. Either he could step outside the security, or the high priest could die, and under both circumstances the avenger of blood couldn't touch him. Tonight, the high priest could die to change Abner's circumstances. Praise God, tonight the death of another has set me free. A death of another has changed my circumstances. The death of another has changed my circumstance in life, and the death of another has changed my circumstances for eternity. Praise God this evening. Someday, the terms of my salvation will not change, but my locality will change. Whither I go by the grave, or whether the Lord comes to take his church home before I die, it doesn't matter. Some of these days I'll go to be with him, and I'll be changed, I'll be with him for eternity. My locality was changed. Whether it be rapture or death, I don't know. But there'll be no judgment for sin, because Christ has paid it all. But what about you tonight? The Lord was to come tonight. Or the icy finger of death was to come. Where would you be? Are you ready? Have you availed of the provision? Or are you still in your sin this evening? You've got the provision. The second thing I want you to see in this passage is the proximity. Not the provision, but the proximity. You see, for Abner there was only a step to salvation. It was near at hand. It was available. He only had to accept it. It was clear. It was guaranteed. It was something that was for his benefit. It was obviously something that he desired when he fled there in the first place. It was only a step. But Abner missed it. He missed it. What about you tonight? It's only a step. You're going to miss it. You're going to die as a fool death. It was a step. There was the simplicity of salvation. See, it was only a step. All he had to do was to take that step. It was simple. It was easy. It was something he could do. But it was something that no one else could do for him. And Abner didn't do it. And he missed it. And he died as a fool death. What about you tonight? The simplicity of salvation. It's as simple as ABC. And I don't want to make it sound that the Christian life is a bed of roses. It's not. But the act of salvation is as simple as ABC. A. Admit you're a sinner. B, believe on his name. And C, confess him before men. That's all you have to do. A, B, C. Admit, believe, confess. But tonight you will not come. And you run the risk of dying as a fool dying. You can see the step and the simplicity. Can you see the security of the salvation? I've already said nobody could touch him. Inside those city walls, he was free. No condemnation. He was as secure as a man could be. Praise God, tonight, those of us in our meeting who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're eternally secure. Because of the day when we came and trusted the Saviour, for me back in that day in November 1989, as I came and trusted Christ, because of him, I'm eternally secure. Hell will never be mine. The great white throne judgment will never be mine. The lake of fire will never be mine. I will never experience those things. But tonight I have a joy in life that I never had when I was in this world. I have a security for eternity. Heaven is secure. I have the presence of Christ in life and eternally. And tonight I one day will walk the street of gold. And I have my place there. Tonight I can never step out of it. But we've said already, when we're in, we'll never lose it. We're in. And we're in eternally. Why is this step in the simplicity and the security and the sound knowledge of salvation? Here's Abner. Here's a man who knew all about it. He had gone there. He wouldn't have gone if he didn't know anything about it. His position and his circumstances enforced it, and he fled to it. But Abner didn't avail of it. What about you tonight? Well, you know all about the cross of Christ. You know all about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that he's the Son of God. You know that he was born of the Virgin. You know that he lived a perfect, sinless, spotless life. You know that he went to Calvary, and there he bled and died for you. You know all that. And you know that if you come to him, he'll transform that life of yours. And he'll save you for time, and he'll save you for eternity. But you will not come. You're on the risk of dying as a fool does. And Abner, yes, despite the step, despite its simplicity and the security of it and the sound knowledge of it, he squandered it. He squandered it. He stayed outside the city. And his day of opportunity was gone. And Abner perished. He perished. What about you tonight? Three reasons that you could miss it. The icy finger of death could come your way when you don't expect it. Came to Abner when he didn't expect it. If it came your way when you don't expect it, you'll die as a fool die. The Lord could return. You'd be left behind. The scripture clearly teaches in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 from about verse 8 on that you can't be saved if you've heard the gospel after the Lord comes. Death could come. The Lord could come, or the Holy Spirit could go, and he would never speak to you again. And for those three reasons, it would be written over you, died as a fool dieth. Mm-hmm. My friend, don't be a fool tonight. You see the provision, the proximity. You see in verse 28 the proclamation. You see in verse 28, it says, but afterward when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner. For the blood. In verse 27, it says, and when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. He died. The reason being, he died for his own actions. He died for shedding the blood of Ahaziel. And condemnation sat upon him. And because he was outside the place of refuge, judgment came. And you can see the reason for the blood. And tonight the reason and the reality is our sin. It's not a word that's popular in Northern Ireland today. People don't like to be told of their sin. But the reality is, sir or madam, I must tell you, in God's sight, that you're a sinner. Whether you like it or not, there's no concern of mine. I must be faithful to this book. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. No exceptions. None left out. All are included. Sin in God's sight is sin. No big ones, no wee ones. Every one of them is a transgression of His law. And He sees the reality of our sin tonight. And because of our actions, just like Abner, judgment and condemnation sits upon us. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20, it tells us, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And Romans 3 and verses 10 to 12, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God, they are all gone out of the way, they are come together, or become together unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And I note the four nones in those verses. There's none righteous, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God, and there's none that doeth good. And that covers every single one of us tonight, my friend. Every one of us is under condemnation because of our sin. And the wrath of God sits upon us. And the judgment of God sits upon us. And unless we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, unless we come to the person in the place of refuge, at the place called Calvary, and receive Him as our sinner, that wrath will fall upon us. And we'll die as a fool die. And you can see tonight as we see this proclamation for the blood, you see the reason, you see the reality, and you see the reality of the shed blood. Another shed His blood in my place, but I had to receive it. Stories told of a story in the Civil War, American Civil War, of one of the armies lifted 10 men and put them up against a wall as an example to the city for rebelling against them. Something similar to what the Nazis did quite a lot. But this one was unique. Because here another man came forward and said, that man there, let him go. I'll take his place. And he died in that young man's place. And there's a plaque to it today. It says, I just can't remember the two men's names. I'm scratching about one of them was Harum or something. Harum Young, I think. But anyway, here lies so-and-so in the place of Harum Young. As this evening, another died in my place. If Harum Young had said, no, I'm not availing of this, Harum Young would still have died. But tonight, the Lord Jesus died for me. And I've trusted Him and I've availed of Him. And the condemnation will never be mine. But He offers you the same salvation tonight. It's available. But will you come and receive Him? Or for you will it be died as a fool dieth? You've got the provision, the proximity, the proclamation. You've got the potential judgment. Turn back with me to Numbers 35, please, a second. Numbers 35, we read a little bit of this earlier on, but go back to it again. The potential judgment in Numbers 35, verses 26 to 38, or 28 rather. Numbers 35, verse 26 to 28. Numbers 35, and the verse 26. Reading from verse 26 to verse 28, it says, but the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whether he was slain. And that's exactly what Abner did. And look what happened. And then the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge. And that's exactly what Joab did. The revenger of blood kill the slayer. He shall not be guilty of blood. Mm-hmm. Because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his position. You can see exactly what's happening here now. The place. If Abner steps outside the gate of that city, he's putting him in his position where he can be slain. He's making it easy for the revenger of blood. Tonight, you and I must be in. Because only those who are in Christ are secure. You must be in tonight. You must receive him. You see the place. You see the person, the revenger or avenger of blood. My friend, tonight, have you stopped to consider that if you refuse to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you say, no, I will not have this man, if you say, away with him, well then you will meet him at the great white throne judgment, and he will be the avenger of blood. He will be the revenger, because you have said no, and you have trampled his blood underfoot, and he must be avenged. Have you stopped to consider it tonight? The place, the person, the possibility. It was instantaneous for Abner. He died instantly. He died when he didn't expect it. He died when he wasn't ready. He died when he wasn't prepared. He died when he thought he was safe. Men prepare for many things. Prepare their career. Many are preparing their holidays in these days. Some prepare for Christmas. They prepare for their children's education. A father will maybe take a life policy out for a daughter's marriage. And a whole pile of things. But men forget to prepare for eternity. And they die as a fool dies. Tonight, the possibility that you could be instantaneously cut off. For you, it's too late. And for Abner, the place and the person, the avenger of blood, and the possibility and the permanency. Too late for Abner. It's permanent. And it breaks my heart this evening, but if you're outside of Christ, and if you're never born again of the Spirit of God, and you're subject to judgment for sin, and you're subject to hell and the great white throne and the lake of fire, then you'll be eternally lost. Permanently now. No change. John 3, verse 17 and 18, tells us, for God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Sir, can I ask you tonight? Can I ask you a heart of love and a heart of concern? Madam, can I ask you, why will you die as a fool dieth? Why? You've got the provision, the proximity. You've got the proclamation. You've got the potential judgment. You've got the penalty. You know, as I stop and think about the commencement of eternal judgment, the moment after a man dies, the moment after a man enters eternity and he's not saved, just like that, he's in the blackness of darkness. It begins to dawn on the soul, he's in hell. And in the horror of that moment, he realizes where he is. And he realizes that there can be no escape. There are no more opportunities. That he's lost and he's died as a fool dieth. How sad. The commencement. And the conditions he'll find himself. And we think of the man in Luke 16 who was in a place of torment. There's a place of torments and he was tormented in the flame. And that's only the holding place. That's really like a holding centre. That's what hell is. Until God summons men in Revelation 20 to the great white throne. And then after the beast and the false prophet have been cast into the lake of fire, hell and death are cast in. God's finished with them. And then the judgment starts. And verse 15 of Revelation 20 tells us that whosoever is not found in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. I saw it tonight. You can see the commencement and the conditions. The consideration. People say to me, you know, Martin, if I go to hell, sure my family will be there. My mates will be there. My pals will be there. There's some sort of great party for eternity. Well, friend, can I say to you tonight, sober up if that's your thinking. Sober up. This man in Luke 16, he has a family too. What a family it is. He's in hell already and five more are on the way. What a family. But he doesn't want his loved ones there. He doesn't want them. He's no desire for them to come. Can I say to you tonight, if you're unfortunate, if anyone there already, they don't want you. They don't want you. Because they love you. They don't want you to endure what they're enduring. An endless, hopeless place of no escape. The endless judgment of God. And they don't want you. And they plead with you tonight. Turn. Don't die as a fool death. You have the provision, the proximity, the proclamation, the potential judgment, the penalty. Sixthly, the pain of a king. If you're still in 2 Samuel 3, verse 33, says, the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner's a fool death. The king lamented over him. David didn't want him slain. And David mourned for him. Can I say to you tonight, God doesn't want any to perish. God takes no delight in men perishing. And if you perish tonight, despite being warned as faithfully and with as much sincerity as I can, but if you perish, God will take no delight in it. In Ezekiel 33 and 11 it says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil way. For why will you die, O house of Israel? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, saith the Lord. Turn ye, for why will you die? God's not willing that any should perish. God loves you, sir. God loves you, Mother. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, it says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. God loves you tonight. And no matter what you do, will never alleviate that love. He bids you come tonight. And the Saviour stands with arms wide open. He says, come unto me, all you labour and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He loves you. But there will come a point in time when you will say no for the last time, and he'll have to let you go. Mm-hmm. And if he lets you go, you're finished. You'll have died as a fool death. One last thing. The division. The proximity, the proclamation, the potential judgment, the penalty, the pain of the king. But the permanency. The permanency. You know, for Abner, his death was full. It was final. For Abner, his death was irreversible. It was tragic. It was eternal. For Abner, it was unnecessary. It was foolish. It was avoidable. Because Abner ignored the danger. He ignored the possibility of revenge. He ignored the nearness of death. He ignored the requirement to make provision. He ignored the nearness of safety. And Abner paid for it with his life, and he died as a fool death. Now what about you tonight? What about you? What about it? Salvation is offered to you. It's near. It's available. It's accessible. All you have to do is call. But if you say no, just like Abner, judgment will be permanent. It will be eternal. And that judgment is near. Judgment is near. But so is safety. And as Abner had to take a step, so do you. Will you avail of it tonight?
Or will you die as a fool? Will you come to Christ? Or die as a fool there?
And as I close, I give an illustration. Dean Hutchison was asked to go to England to take a tent mission. He arrived on the Lord's Day afternoon. He had his dinner with the people he was staying with. The wife was saved. The husband wasn't. After the meal, the wife got up to do the dishes and busy herself. The husband got up. He walked over to warm himself by the fire. And he turned around to Mr. Hutchison and he says, "Well, I suppose you'll want me to come to your mission." Mr. Hutchison looked at him in the eye and he says, "Sir, that would be lovely. You'd be so welcome. We'd be really pleased to have you, really glad that you would come. Please come to the mission." The man standing, warming himself by the fire, said, "It's just like this. I'd rather go to hell than go to your mission." And as soon as the words were out of his mouth, he dropped dead. And he got his wish. And he died as a fool death. The nearness of salvation. The nearness of judgment. Will you make the step tonight and come to Christ? Or will you die as a fool death? Make your decision wisely. You may never get another opportunity to make it. I'm going to close by standing to sing the words of the hymn number 240, please. "Out of Christ without a Saviour, oh, can it be, can it be? Like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea. Oh, to be without a Saviour, with no hope or refuge nigh. Can it be, oh, blessed Saviour, one without thee?